Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
And somehow I was led to pray. I just felt like it was a correct prayer to pray. Lord, break me and put me back together again the way you want me to be. And then I went about my day, went home, and then my mom was like, "Oh my God, Jess, God answered my prayer today." Yeah, it's crazy. It happened so fast. Maybe that's why they call it a fast, right? and then I was like, great. Okay, great. But at the same time, it dawned upon me. I was like, holy crap. I just asked God today to break me.
To break you.
Okay. It was at that moment that I broke down, started crying, and I realized, wow, God speaks. This is how God talks.
You know, God is not going to force anybody to make them believe in him, but for those that are searching, he's going to provide a way.
I love that prayer. I'm just not sure if I'm going to pray it anytime soon.
It's a dangerous prayer.
Okay, our guest for today was once asked on his podcast, which is called On Call, right? The question was, what's one sign that you would probably stay friends with someone for life? And his answer was, if we're both firm in the faith, whatever is in the Bible, I'm going to be studying that my whole life. And I need people who know more about it, who've experienced it, and who've gone through their doubts and have gone through their rough patches and can testify about it. Welcome to the Narrow Door Podcast. Coming in, Justin!
Woo! Wow. Hello. Thank you for the warm welcome. And someone listens to my podcast. Wow. Look at that. Can you imagine? Somebody quoted my podcast. Who does that? Nobody does that
so
to me.
And I want to thank you so much for bringing the sound effects. We almost always never have that. But because you're such a professional and you run all these shows, he brought the sound effects today.
You know, Sam, if you want to be a little bit more romantic about it, if you want to... You know,
oh, that's great.
It's a different kind of vibe, Sam. You know, I mean, we can do it. We can do it all if you want. You want to play a game show? We could do it. Which apostle did Jesus appoint to? Things like
can
that.
Can we have like a Bible Jeopardy for instructor error or something?
So much fun. These are sounds that you never hear on the Narrow Door Podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess.
So, what are sounds that you usually hear on the Narrow Door Podcast?
Oh.
Huh. Ooh.
Lots of, yeah.
That's what that meant. Oh, things like that. Yeah.
That's right.
And then
that's
silence.
Yeah, a lot of silence.
We need to marinate.
We call it processing. Yes.
Exactly.
It's not silence, it's processing.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. But Jess, really, it's so good to have you on the show. We actually talked about you a few episodes ago. Jam was here and I told her about the list of people that you had going, people that you were praying for. And was on, remember that? We were backstage like during a show. I was on the list. But here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So ever since that day that we talked about it, I've been kind of sitting on this and I was like, is that a good thing that I was on that list or not? It's like, you know, Justin looked around the room and he was like, okay, these people, I need to pray for these people. Yeah, right.
That person, not so much. This person, definitely this person needs prayer.
Wow.
Explain that list.
Yes,
Justin.
Well, so that list, if you're ever looking for a list of people to pray for, that who you want to just excel in life, who you love and you would like the grace of God and the favor of God to be upon them in their lives, well, look no further than Justin Carino's Evernote list, which Sam O is on. I'm pretty sure Tina's on there. And pretty much everyone on Magic and Play and I don't know, every family that I felt I was a part of, I just had it, you know? So I come from an evangelical church. I go to Victory Fort. Every Nation started as Victory here in the Philippines.
Oh my gosh, do you know Pastor Dennis C?
Yes, I do. I love Pastor Dennis.
He is one of the OG panelists on the Narrow Door Podcast.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. So funny, so relatable.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Love him. So that's the church I go to. And I'm really prompted a lot to pray for people, pray for the nation, pray for, you know, authorities, pray for everything, right? Mm. To just pray. And, you know, if you're not in faith, then you're in sin technically, right? So I wanted to be in faith in everything. So when I'd come to work at Magic, you know, as a student jock back then, you know, I've treated it like a calling, you know, and I treated it like there was purpose there. There was something deeper that I was doing. I wasn't just playing music, you know. I wasn't just, you know, saying trivia or whatever. I was hopefully lifting someone's spirits that day with an energetic song, and then possibly even inject a little bit of scripture hidden, you know,
Did you try that?
Yeah, you know, so actually, you know, when I started on radio, that was like the start of my on fire days also, which seemed like a mega contradiction, because interestingly enough, when I auditioned for radio for Magic, the only music that I was listening to back then were praise songs, which is weird because I was going into a station that, you know, is known for very worldly jokes and, you know, that kind of humor and stuff. But I always wanted to be, you know, a host and a DJ and all these things. And I always wanted to be on Magic. So I auditioned. So it was really interesting because, you know, that's what I was into back then. And I still got in and I was lucky enough to find mentors like Big Daddy Jake, Dennis Pulikit, who is a Christian, very strong one at that. And
he was my partner, by the way.
He was Dr. your partner. Aaron.
My partner Daddy for a Jake. Long time.
Cool. So I talked to him a lot about it. Like, you know, what does it mean to be like, how do you do it? How do you think very contrary thoughts, you know, to maybe some of the music that we have to play or some of the banter that's going on, right? How do you do it? Is there no cognitive dissonance here? You know, like what's the deal? And he said, you know, you just kind of take it a day at a time and just follow God's call and all these things. And he told me that before he used to have this radio show also on Magic on Sundays. I think it was Playground or something. Uh-huh. I mean, they would play like Disney songs and all these things.
Oh, with the little kids.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Adorable. I love that show.
Yeah, so he had that show, and at this time he was already a Christian, and he has such a big heart, you know, so he just wants to share what he thinks is correct with everybody. But so he actually used to quote Proverbs on air, but after a while one of the bosses said, hey, you know, that you're getting a little too radical with this Christianity thing on air, you know. So instead, he would kind of hide it, and he'd still quote Proverbs, and he'd just say, a wise man once said that it's better to stay in the rooftop of your house than in a... Never mind. Okay, let's not get to that one. We all know, if you know that one, you know Bible jokes. Okay, So that was his style, and it kind of informed how I don't know, maybe it might have been weird spiels on my part also, but let's say I would play like a track about sex, and you know, it was Usher. After it, I would say that's we call that a married people song. Things like that. I don't know. I just found ways.
That's hilarious.
In my head, they sounded okay, and they were, you know, discreet enough, perhaps.
What was the hardest song to play? Do you remember? Like, every time you had to play a song, it would make you cringe.
Oh, man.
But we had to play it because we were playing Top 40.
Right. I don't know. I don't remember. But I do know, was it Casey Kasem, right? Famous, famous radio DJ, Top 40.
Yeah.
American Top 40. I remember that since his background is very wholesome, he never wanted to be lewd or anything. I think what was it, George Michael? I think he had a song called Sex. Was it Sex?
Tina? I want your sex.
Okay, yeah there. Oh, So I heard a story that that Casey Kasem, whenever he would introduce that song, he would never say the title. He'd just say, here's the latest one from George Michael.
Yeah. How clever.
You know, so there are, you know, I guess ways around it. It's our job to play the song. Still got to play the song, right? But it's, you know, how into it are you going to be? Are you going to sell it? Because are you going to sell everything this song is about, just because, you know, it's popular, just because it's our job or whatever. What is good about the song? Who is this song for? Who can this song be for? You know, so getting into radio, I had those kinds of thoughts. That's the kind of DJ I was kind of being formed as, because I was continually going to Bible study and even leading Bible studies. So it's like, you know, there's that accountability there, you know? It's like, hey, that guy leads my Bible study. Why is he being all lewd or whatever, right? So that's why I've always found that even like this, like if you have a platform like this, I'm sure all of you guys have felt more accountability in your own lives, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I don't know, you're taking a stand. And I just have to commend you guys also for doing that on a regular basis. And even the name of your podcast, the Narrow Door Podcast, I was like, that is a bold name for a podcast.
Is it?
It is. I mean, I thought that it was derived from, what do you call this?
Luke one chapter of the verses. 13. Yes.
Yeah, you will enter by, you know, a narrow door.
So, Matthew 7, as well.
So. And Matthew 7.
Right? Yeah. So quite bold to say that, I think, because, you know, there's, especially if you're talking about end times and the second coming, you know, it could be, you know, if you're trying to talk in a very woke sense, it could be kind of divisive. You know what I mean? So I would say that it's very bold what you're doing. You know?
Well, I think, you know, being faithful in the world today is a bold move.
True.
To start, yeah. But thank you. Thank you, Justin. It means a lot coming from you. I mean, hearing your story, though, like, it made me wonder. You know, we've had Instructor Aaron on the show now for a month or two, and we've always known him as the Bible instructor and how he's been teaching Bible for 15 years. But Instructor Aaron, what were you doing prior to being a Bible instructor? Do you mind talking about that?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, we're all just different people that grew up in different ways, right? And I've mentioned it before on the podcast, I think when we were talking with Jam, that I didn't really always live my life according to, you know, the Bible or things like that. For a long time, I fell away from anything that had to do with organized religion because of all the nasty stuff that I saw within it. So I didn't want to have anything really to do with it. Most of the friends that I've had, they grew up in religious families, but then really broke away from it because of the, you know, hypocrisy they would see inside of their families and the way that their parents would act, you know, when they weren't going to church and things of this nature. And so I just kind of left it by the wayside for a long time and always really just always believed that there was something more than just life itself, you know, just this physical life. Always knew that there was just something else beyond there, but that's about as much as I, you know, really dove into it until I got a little bit later on, really wanted to study more about spiritual type of things and stuff like that. But as far as my physical life, just living a physical life, I wanted to be very wealthy. That was my whole gig, you know, like all through school. So I was really dedicating my life towards the business aspect. Well, I altered. At first I was really just into mathematics and chemistry and things of that nature. So I was thinking about being a chemical engineer and going down that route. But then I started getting into business and I really focused on creating my own businesses. I didn't want to work for anybody else. So I wanted to be my own boss, but to do that, of course you need, you know, capital. So I started working for different companies and I've always been fairly good with speaking, you know, being on debate teams and things of that nature. Awesome. So sales was just right up my alley and I just got into different sales jobs and got comfortably into one particular sales job that was paying quite well. And I was like top 5% sales in the United States and had a whole future planned out.
Just the whole US.
Yeah, you know, got the awards and all the fun stuff that you put up on the walls and the plaques and all that kind of nice stuff. And I had my whole future planned out. I was going to be retired, you know, really early, you know, in my 40s, I could have been retired with residual income and then been working on just what I wanted to do from that point forward. And then, of course, everything just shifted. You know, we always realize God doesn't always have the same plans that you do. And I didn't realize that I would be back involved with religion. I really didn't. If you were to ask me, you know, 20 years ago, if I thought I'd be on a podcast talking about the fulfillment of Revelation, I would have laughed you out of the room. I really would have. You know, I had people try to evangelize me when I was younger and I would just, you know, blow them off and say, look, all you have to be is just a good person. Leave me alone. You know, that type of thing. So I really commend those people for trying, you know, I really do because it's not an easy thing to do, but Yeah. So, I mean, I was, that's just what I was when I was growing up. And then okay. Things changed. Yeah, things changed.
Nice. All right. We got to color in the picture a little bit more with Instructor Aaron here.
Yeah, I'm a normal person, I promise.
I was just about to ask what's all about the money, because I was never about the money. So that's why people really say I'm all about the money, because they want to retire early. Was that your reason?
Yeah, I just didn't want to worry about it. I grew up from a very, like, we were pretty poor. I mean, I was at certain times, it's kind of funny, I haven't thought about this for a long time, but you know, I was a child that if you wanted to get something out of the fridge, like even an apple or anything, you had to ask. You couldn't just get food out of the fridge because it was very scarce. You know, we grew up very not in a good position, I'll put it that way, for a long period of my life. And I didn't want my kids growing up like that. I didn't want to have to stress about money, you know, for my whole life. It's not like I was in love with money. And that's kind of funny, you know, the love of money, the root of all. It was never like loving the money. I just didn't want to stress over it. I wanted to be able to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and come back with more money than when I left. So by having investments. So I read the books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Sure.
You know, the seven, you know, what is it? The
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Highly Successful People. Exactly. Yeah. Right. That's why the money was there, just simply because I didn't ever want to have to stress about it when I was older.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things are just, like I said, things are different. To me, the way that I look at money nowadays, it's so ridiculous. It's just, especially with these, you know, billionaire oligarchs in the, it's just, it's hilarious to think about the amount of money that some of these people have. It's absurd to try to even fathom. I can't really honestly wrap my brain around how much money some of these people have.
Like, it's, how much money does one need?
Really? It never ends. That's the thing. Right. It's a bottomless pit. It never, there's never enough, right? Yeah. Until they have everything. And then what happens, right? You guys play the game of Monopoly, right? Mm-hmm. What happens when somebody gets all the money in the bank, right? It's like the game ends, you know? So, yeah. I don't know. That's a really weird thing. Money's an odd thing.
I love, what do you call this? Pastor Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life.
Mm-hmm. I read that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he obviously mega successful, makes a lot of money, but he reverse tithes. So every year he gives, well, so instead of the usual 10%, he gives 90%. Right. And he also commits that every year he'll increase it by a little increment. So this year it's 90, next year it's 90.25, next year is 90.50 or something.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's what he's all about. And so that for me, you know, like, cause for you, Instructor Aaron, I mean, I guess it's safe to say you're in the ministry, right? Definitely so. And for me, I guess for all Christians, you all have that same question too. It's, to be a good Christian, do I need to be in the ministry or do I need to be actively serving in a church, right? And for me, I was like, okay, so what? I'm a good speaker. I like to talk in front of crowds. Does that mean I'm destined to be a pastor? You know, is that what I have to be?
Did you ever think about that?
Oh, like, of course, a lot. And it's still there. Of course.
Justin,
of course.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Because, you know, because number one, if you're leading a church and you don't know how to express yourself, you know, like it's just not good for attendance. You know, it's not good for learning.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, if you want your congregation to be happy and thriving, they need to be engaged too, you know? So I always thought, you know, that's in the cards for me. But I also needed to justify, you know, not being a pastor, right? Like, how do I be a God-following Christian, a God-honoring Christian, as a money-making host, you know, or as a content creator or whatever? And so I've always thought about models like Pastor Rick Warren, right, who would reverse tithe, or C.S. Lewis, who I think it was his kids that said about him that he never refused a beggar, you know. Nice. And, you know, just like how to use the resources you've been given to bless other people so that, you know, biblically, right, you use your resources to bless other people, that they would be happy and it would produce thanksgiving in their heart that they would direct to God. Right. So, yeah. So I've always liked that model. And I feel like, sorry, just on the topic of making a lot of money. Right. I just wanted to throw that in there if you do want to make a lot of money, hopefully, you know, you have blessing other people in mind as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very nice. Very nicely put, Jess. I love that. Were you always this faithful person? Because I've always known you to be super nice, stand-up guy. I really cannot imagine you as anything else. Mm. And so were you always like this? Was there ever a time in your life where you were just like, religion? No.
For sure.
No, yeah. That's not true.
Probably.
That's not true.
Yeah. I mean, because like, or just authority in general. You know what I mean? Mm. I mean, like, you're in your teen years. You love, you know, rock and roll music. You know, you like...
rebellious years, right?
Exactly. You know, I'm listening to not Linkin Park. Who's before Linkin Park? Fred Durst, right? What's the band? Oh my gosh, why did I forget
what was
the band?
It?
Limp Bizkit. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Limp Bizkit, right? And then he's going, you don't give a about me in my generation. And I'm like, that's right. Nobody cares about me and my generation. So I'm going to do what I want and, you know, and say stuff. It's sort of like when they, you know, point a camera at someone and say, what do you want to say to the world? And the guy says, that I have something to say.
Okay.
You don't know what you want to say. You just know that I have something to say. I want to be acknowledged in the world. Right. You know what I mean?
So it's be heard.
Yeah. I want to be heard. I don't know what I want to say. I just know that I want to be heard. Right. And so I had those years too. Yeah. I had
what
those
happened?
Years.
Like, how did you become this person who's, you know, one sign that somebody will be a lifelong friend for you would be someone who's firm in the faith. I mean,
you know what's interesting? This may not be your typical cookie cutter answer, I think, but
I love it.
I think it may have started when I started getting noticed by girls.
Ooh, do tell.
Because sort of like, if I was already in this, you know, I'm looking for attention. I'm looking to make my mark in the world. You know, I want to be heard and stuff, right? And then finally, oh wow, girls notice me. What? So girls have a crush on me.
You're such a cutie, Justin. What
you are.
No. Well, this was so I had a life changing haircut. Okay, I didn't like my hair. That's what my cousins call it. They say that they gave me the life changing haircut. Like, before this haircut, like, I was just alone, you know, just like skateboarding alone in my garage, you know, listening to, you know, to metal or whatever. And then just playing basketball, whatever, usual, let's say sixth grader stuff, right? And then my cousins forced me to go and get this haircut. And I was even complimented by Edu Manzano, who was there that day.
Edu Manzano is an actor,
very famous actor in the
veteran
Philippines, right?
Seasoned actor.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you look great. And then and I was just like, it's whatever, Ed Manzano.
Well, coming from another good looking guy, we're like,
whatever. I didn't know who he was. I was in sixth grade, you know. But anyway, so but after that I noticed that like this girl who I had a crush on, her group of friends started to like me.
Oh, and my so gosh.
Because her group of friends started to like me and notice me, this girl started to want
me. She noticed
me
you.
So now I had this attention. And now I get to talk to these girls like on the phone, you know, in the Philippines, you call it telebabad, you know, like you are waiting, you know, you're hanging out on the phone till the wee hours of the night. Right. And I noticed that these girls had a lot of problems and they wanted to vent about stuff. And I loved to listen. I was so fascinated by people and their problems and everything. And I wanted to help, you know? So I think maybe that's where it started. It's people wanted to talk. People, I knew that people had problems and I knew that somehow I could help and that somehow I would always end up in the situation where I would have to give someone advice. So I kind of got to learn how to give better advice.
So that's how, what got you into
maybe
faith is like
right now, that's what I'm
draw from.
Well, and just you were asking how I got out of the rebellious phase anyway, right? The initial rebellious phase. Yeah. But
okay.
But I think the biggest credit to how I came to faith really would be to my mom.
Who I've met. She's lovely.
She is. To paint you a picture, I grew up with a very, very Christian mom. But I also grew up in a very, very Catholic home. I lived with my grandmother, who was super Catholic, and my mom, who was super born again. And I went to a born again preschool and everything. But at home, because I lived with my grandmother, and she made us lead the prayer at night and stuff like that. I would still do the sign of the cross and, you know, blessed be. I don't know. And I remember that one time I was in school. This is a Christian school, and I did the sign of the cross before eating, and then someone said, "Allah, oh, you're doing the sign of the cross," you know. And I was like, "What? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's just wrong?" And then, well, obviously, they're kids. They don't know. They don't know what. What all means, right? It's totally fine, but
oh my gosh,
but
so
yeah,
funny.
And so that's how I was growing up. But my mom, she would read me Bible verses every night. You know, she'd make me pray every night and stuff. And you know, the Bible also says, "What's this? Train your child in the ways of the Lord," or something. And when he grows up, he won't depart from it, right? So I think that some of that it applies to my life. A lot of it applies to my life. And my mom is just this ever faithful pillar, or just pillar of faith in my life. And yeah, she was my number one inspiration for and model for faith, I guess.
Aww.
So
was it?
Yeah.
Did you ever struggle though, like having to choose between Catholic and born again Christian? You know.
A little bit, because in my earlier years of education, I was in born again institutions. When I was getting into fifth grade, my dad gave me the opportunity to go to La Salle Green Hills, which is a Catholic institution. So when I went into La Salle, I was like, "All right, let's try to be a Catholic. Let's see if this is for me," you know. Yeah. You know,
yes.
Let's Catholicism, you know.
Also wearing green. Yes. Animal. Okay.
So I got into this new school. Right. But the thing is, I got in at grade five, which means that I had missed my first communion officially. I had missed my first communion and confirmation. So every time we had mass, I was never allowed to get communion.
Oh,
yeah. But later on, around high school, fast forward to high school, a lot of my friends were joining this this Catholic charismatic for teens. It was called Luke 18. It's in Santuario de San Antonio in the Makati area, and a lot of people would go there just to meet guys and girls and stuff. Really. Instructor Aaron, it's so interesting. I think you would be so fascinated by sociology in Filipino schools. A lot of my friends were doing that because they wanted to meet, because I went to an all boys school and they're all the girls schools, all that. So a lot of my friends went there because they wanted to meet and hang out with girls or whatever.
It's the religious soiree.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Falling in love for God. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to go because I wanted to see, you know, if being a Catholic was really for me. I wanted to really explore it, you know? Right. Not just on a mass whenever my school wanted me to, you know, told me it's mass time, you know? I wanted to see if this is something I would pursue. And so I went and I loved it. And there was a lot of you know, singing and share groups, right? You break up into groups. And as I talked about earlier, you know, I like listening to people's problems and helping solve and stuff like that. So that was cool. But at the same time, I would go with my mom to her evangelical church on Sundays. So on Thursdays, I would volunteer in mass with my youth group. And then on Saturdays, I would do like the youth activities, you know, attend talks and stuff like that.
This is what the youth does.
They flail around and shoot water guns, which we did, which is a lot of fun. But on Sundays, I would go with my mom to the evangelical church, right? But what I really enjoyed about the evangelical church victory was that they were using PowerPoint presentations. It was so simple.
You don't really hear that in one sentence. I love PowerPoint presentations.
Yes, exactly. It's so simple. But maybe, just maybe, that's what it's going to take for you to learn a lesson that day. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so when I went, I was like, well, I'm actually kind of learning. And then I went back to my youth group, my Catholic Charismatic youth group. And when we had our share groups, and it was time to, you know, help each other out or pray for each other or whatever. One of the leaders said, wow, where did you get that insight? And I was just like, I got it from Victory. I got it from the evangelical church. So I kind of treated the evangelical church like school. I went there, I took notes because it was presented in such a, you know, in such a systematic way. Today we're talking about love. Here are verses about love. Here are examples about love. How do we apply these verses in your life, right? So at the end of it, I like to take notes, okay? As you know. So at the end of it, I had notes. You know what I mean? I had stuff that I could process and then internalize and share. And so I just kind of kept that process up until I realized that, you know, one day that I was just learning so much and growing so much in Victory in this evangelical church. So that's when I was like, okay, all right, I'll give you a fair shot. Let's go.
That's interesting because a few episodes ago, we were talking about a letter that was sent to us by a listener asking how to go about reading the Bible and stuff like that. And we were all like, you know what? You need to kind of go about it in an academic manner, in a systematic manner. Like, we highly recommend that you take an actual class for it because Tina and I are, and we find it so helpful.
It's great. Yeah,
it is. It really is.
Yeah.
But I also kind of want to ask Tina and Instructor Aaron, because I know you both come from, you know, households where there were mixed faiths in, you know, among your parents or relatives or maybe even siblings. You know, was that like traumatic for you, confusing for you? What was that like? Tina, do you want to go ahead?
I just remembered when somebody very close to the family turned. Well, he became born. Oh my gosh, I hope they don't listen to this episode because he's going to know who he is, Instructor Aaron. Whatever. We weren't like forced to go to like Sunday mass or anything. And I'm actually trying to recall now if my mom ever like asked me to pray when I was a kid. But I do remember that if we didn't sleep in the afternoon, because like some of my uncles would say that, you know, God wouldn't like us if we didn't sleep in the afternoon when we were kids.
Classic,
you know. Yeah. But I do know somebody that, you know, when he became a born again Christian, I thought it meant, hey, you're gonna be like a better person, right?
Oh, like self-righteous, because some people
do. Yeah, there's a word. Okay. Yeah. There you
go. Yeah. You do see that happen, sadly.
How about you, Instructor Aaron?
I'd say the only real like controversy was from the church itself, maybe. You know, the people that belong to the church.
You have a new earth, you
mean? No, it was way back when I was young.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, way back when I was young. Yeah. Growing up, my one side of the family, I've talked about this before, one side of the family was Mormon. And then the other side was like, you know, a Catholic, Italian Catholic, but the Catholic side really, it was just kind of in their life, but they were never really like super dedicated. It was just always there. Maybe my grandmother was a little bit more so than anybody else. Right. And then same thing on the side of the Mormon side as well. So my grandparents on my mother's side were, you know, pretty involved in the church and stuff. But then when there was controversy that happened, like, you know, sometimes the churches can be, just like you said, there could be a lot of self-righteous things that go on from that. But when it came to our house itself, it wasn't really much of a religious house so much. So it never really kind of came up too much in conversations. My mom stopped going, you know, because a lot of bad things that she saw in the church. So she didn't want to go, but we would still go with our grandparents. She wanted us to just have that opportunity. And then when given the opportunity for me to make a choice, there was questions that I would have that I would ask them and they couldn't answer. And they would say just really ridiculous things that made me feel like they were being, you know, very condescending, just like, you're stupid for asking that, you know, like, how dare you, that type of thing. So, so when it came to the point of, do you want to still go? I remember it's kind of more like a dream kind of thing, you know, like what you remember as a child, but I do remember slightly the conversation. Do you still want to go, you know, to church? Is it something that you still enjoy? Is it something that you feel comfortable going? And I just remember saying, no, I don't want to go back there. And I never did. So I never went back to that particular church. And then one of my sisters wanted to get more involved in like the Protestant style. So she was just reading the Bible on her own and attending, you know, her own kind of way. And that maybe caused a little bit of some friction from time to time, because she's very outspoken in a lot of ways. And, you know, so she saw a lot of bad things that happened as well. But that's pretty much it. I mean, that would be like, you know, kind of normal family squabbles that would happen and stuff. Nothing too dramatic. It was always just kind of in the background. It was there. I had friends that were involved in religion. I had other ones that were so far away from it, it was ridiculous. And usually the people that were far away from it were much nicer people, to be quite honest. They were people that you could actually get in, you know, I don't know, get along with. You know, in the Bible, they call it being rich. You know, they become self-righteous. Mm. You know, you're so full of like wisdom that you believe yourself to be above and beyond other people. So that's why the Bible is really adamant about being humble and not being arrogant. Because that pride and that arrogance, that's where Satan, that's his playground, right? So he really, and of course, who's going to work on the most? He's going to work on, you know, people of God. If he can make them arrogant and prideful, then that's basically joining hearts with him. You know, God is not arrogant and prideful, but if you are, so that's why you always have to use it as like that mirror. And, you know, Justin, you brought up like quite a few Proverbs. That's like the ones that you really need to read a lot. They're the ones that really will smack you down, right? If you actually read them, they're really pointy. You know, and that's actually in Korean. Isn't that what they call it? They call it chamon. It's like the needle. Yeah, it's like a needle, right? Cham. It's like the pointing of the So it's meant to pierce your heart.
Is that what it means? I don't even know that, Instructor Aaron.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right? I like that, right? It's kind of cool.
I feel like such a bad Korean. Thank you.
I don't know a lot of Korean, but little things, right? I know more biblical Korean than other, but so it's meant to pierce your heart. Why? Because we have hardened hearts, you know, is what a lot of it is. So if you read them often and you don't think about, this is the key, you don't think about other people. This is when people read a lot of times, like, oh, I know somebody that needs this. And I know, instead you're supposed to do it the opposite, right? Use it as a mirror. Use it as a mirror. You can't help it. It just comes, right? It just comes. It does.
It just comes. As the spirit talks. I don't know.
And you really have to kind of just use it for yourself a lot, most, right? Indeed. And really just keep yourself, you know, humble. And you know what you had mentioned earlier about being on the radio station and having to, you know, be in that situation. I mean, we're people in the world. That's just what it is. You know, disciples dealt with the same thing. Because we're in that environment, you know, when you think about John 13, when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, it's meant to teach them humility. But at the same time, he says, you have to do this every day. And the water really represents the word. You know, when you look at like Deuteronomy 32, you know, God's teachings like rain. When you look at like Ephesians, you know, 5, it talks about washing her through the water of the word. So if you think about, you're in this dirty world all the time, what you can do to help yourself to remain clean is just going back into the word. Right? Washing yourself through the thoughts of the word. So, because you're constantly bombarded with the things of the worldly thoughts. So what can you do to counter that? Well, again, dive into the word, right? And then the more of the thoughts of God you have, you can kind of wash it clean. And we have to be people that are putting on a face, if you will, for God. You know, we really are. We're putting on a face for God, because if they're going to judge God according to the believers, which that happens a lot.
Oh, yes, right? It does.
Then it's kind of like what Paul says, you know, if my eating meat causes somebody else to stumble, then, you know, I'll never eat meat again.
Yeah.
Right. Because he doesn't want his actions to negatively affect somebody else. Pardon me. And so what the chairman says a lot is we take on a public responsibility instead of a private life. When you are involved in, you know, something like I'm involved with. So your life becomes a public life. And when that happens, you kind of lose a lot of your own desires or your own will, because you're there for other people. So my job is to be there for other people to come to be able to learn. And if anything I'm doing causes somebody not to want to learn, then that's bad. Right? That's bad. So the way that you dress, the way that you act, I know, yes, it's the other people's problem. They shouldn't judge you like that. I get that, but they don't know better. And if what you're doing causes them not to want to listen, then, and you can change that, instead of being stubborn and prideful, then, you know, we'll change it, right? Yeah. Just do it like that.
I remember in a recent episode, you were talking about how your big fear is that somebody might come up to you and be like, why didn't you try harder to tell me more about this? Like, I really felt that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. It's still, that's one of the things I live by. Yeah.
Was there a moment, Justin, because, you know, when I heard this answer that you gave, right? Sorry, this episode is basically just like me trying to break down this answer, you know, and like certain stuff in between.
All right.
Yeah. Was there a moment for you when this whole Bible thing clicked? Because I think for me as a Catholic, like when I came into the faith, Bible wasn't my first thing, really. I mean, yeah. I was so in love with like, you know, going through the motions of it and you know, the rituals that we had and, you know, and it's all gravy, but the Bible came later and now I'm just like all about it. Right. And so when I hear somebody something like, love it. And so when I hear something like this, where, you know, it's about the Bible for me and, even how you say like someone who can testify, I didn't even know the Bible was something to be testified. But then if you think about it, like, hello, testaments. Like, what do you do with that? And I was like, huh, you know, I mean, when, like, was that a moment or, you know, like how did that happen for you?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I attribute it to, like the moment I say that I got saved, which is around 2009. It was my first time to participate in prayer and fasting. It was 7 days of prayer and fasting in the church. And back then, I was just like, whatever. I was like, okay, prayer and fasting, it happens once a year. Oh, back then, right? And I was like, you know what? The church is going to do it. I could shed a few pounds. All right, whatever. Screw it. Let's do it, right?
Like the first thing people think about, I was like, I
want to
lose a bit of weight.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know, it was, as a model back then, I could, I could get a couple of these pounds away. And I just thought that it would be a good thing, like going on a retreat, right? Like, I'm sure that everybody in the world thinks I should probably go on some kind of retreat. I should probably take some kind of class, you know? I'm sure that that thought has popped up somewhere. And so for me, that was the opportunity. It was, my mom was already regularly fasting and stuff. And I'm going to be going to church every Sunday and they're going to be talking about, you know, what they learned from the modules and, you know, from the booklet and everything from fasting on Sunday. So might as well, I'll just join them, right? So it's 7 days of prayer and fasting. And then you have this little booklet, right? So on day one, these are the Bible verses to read that day. And I forget exactly what the theme was and all that. Let's just say love, right? And then, so let's say love is patient. Day two, love is kind. Day three, love is, you know, something like that. And then other verses kind of supporting it. And that week, I was still in school. I had a bunch of tests. I took psychology in college. I had a bunch of tests to study for, homework. I was also involved in like student council, student government.
Such an overachiever, this one. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm an extracurricular kind of guy. That's
like,
it.
What I do think you not do? It. You know.
What I find boring. that's the question. So anyway, so that week, right? I had a checklist. Every day, I need to finish my devotions for the day, right? And then I need to follow the diet, which is. I chose to have sort of like a gradual diet because you can choose like 7 days of water only or 7 days of just liquid fast. So soups, smoothies, whatever. Or you could choose one meal a day, right? Or you could have some variation of that. So I was like, okay, I'm joining it kind of late. So I'm just going to do a gradual thing. I'm going to do 3 days of one meal only, 3 days of liquid, and then 1 day of water. Okay. But this whole week I was still in school. I was still going to school. So this is the first time I was doing all this together, right? So again, I had my checklist. Devotions for the day, follow the diet, and maybe go to one of the worship services instead of eating, right? Because every day they're worship services. So I was doing that and I think it was like a Wednesday or something. I was in the library in our school, and I had to study for a test, but I also had to finish this devotion, right? So I had these two like little booklets to fill. So I ended up doing the devotion, and somehow I was led to pray. I just felt like it was a correct prayer to pray. Lord, break me and put me back together again the way you want me to be.
Wow.
It just felt right. I just said it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just said it. And then I went about my day, went home. And then my mom was like, oh my God, Jess, what's this? God answered my prayer today. It's like, what?
Your mom. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So also part of the fast, you know, you list down faith goals, things you're believing God for, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're saying, oh my God, you know, God answered my prayer today. Your dad just got this new deal for something like this. I was like, what, really? She's like, yeah, it's crazy. It happened so fast. Maybe that's why they call it a fast, right? and then I was like, great. Okay, great. But at the same time, it dawned upon me. I was like, holy crap. I just asked God today to break me. Okay, to break me and put me back together again the way you want. So I was like, so the next day or so, I was kind of just like, oh my God, when is this gonna happen? You know, like Final Destination, right?
Kobe.
And
Tina's dog. It's all right.
And then so the next day, nothing happened. I went back home from school, so tired. This is probably like my first time on liquid, and you know, taking the train everywhere, you know, all these things. And I was just lying down on my brother's bed in my parents' room, just watching TV, just like super spaced out. And then out of nowhere, my dad comes in and he starts berating me like crazy.
Oh, what? Okay.
He's like, you're always staying out so late, and how come you didn't finish this and that and this guy? And then, and for me, like, I'm a very argumentative person as well, okay? Like, so when someone throws an argument at me, I need to think, do I have a comeback? I do. Actually, I do. I have so many comebacks. Everything you're saying is false, okay? There is a valid excuse or reason for each of these things, right? But I was like, I remembered what one of the pastors said in one of the services that I went to instead of eating, which was a fruit of the Spirit is peace.
Oh, yes, yes.
So instead of giving my dad the usual, you know, a mouthful of humble pie for him, I was like, I will hold my tongue and seek peace. But he kept going. And then I went to my room to retreat and everything, but I was really weak and everything, right? And then when I realized that I was obeying God's voice, I guess, in that, right? That here is the perfect opportunity for you to look cool, Justin. You're going to, you know, you're going to put your dad to shame for all these wrong accusations. But then you remember that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And then my action, I choose peace instead. It was at that moment that I broke down, started crying, and I realized, wow, God speaks. This is how God talks. This is how he talks.
He broke you.
That was the breaking. And the putting back together again the way he wanted me to not respond in retaliation, but in peace, right? And I was just like, whoa. It was just mind-blowing for me. And then my mom came in and, you know, she helped him out. She's like, Bons, you know, you don't know what he's going through today. Like, this is really hard, you know, fasting, all these things. And then I just had this moment. So I had this moment alone in my room and I was like, wow. All right. So it's real. So this is real, this thing, huh?
Wait, so was your dad fasting too?
No, of course not. Oh. Of course not. Yeah.
Kala ko hunger pangs yun.
Angry.
I wanted to eat. And you ate the last cupcake. No, nothing like that. But so that night, I went back to the devotions and I was, you know, going through it. And then I just raised my arms in surrender. And I said, okay, you know what, Lord, whatever you want for my life, go for it. Okay. You want me to be a pastor? Fine. You want me to be an artist? Fine. You want me to be the president? Fine. Whatever. Whatever you want. Okay? And that's it. So that's my salvation story, I guess.
Wow.
That's my testimony. And so ever since then, reading the Bible and knowing what God has to say about things and how he wants us to respond to things, it was that much more real. And where do you get that? You get it from the Bible.
So good. That is so
I'm
good.
Sorry, that was a really long answer to
no,
your
No, but it was such
question.
A good answer. No, I asked for the story. Yeah, yeah. That is amazing. Yeah. Well, it seems to me, you know, God is telling you to be a podcast host. His show is called On Call, and he hosts it with Jaco, Danny, and Inka. Inka's a good friend of ours as well. Is Inka still Wiccan?
I haven't talked to her about it.
No, you know she's Wiccan.
The last time we talked about it, I think she said that she is not a pantheist, more of like a, she says polytheist, because she believes in that, you know, she believes in God so much. That's what she says. She believes in God so much, or the idea of a God, that there is some, you know, intelligent, all-powerful mind out there that, I don't know that. So yeah. That's where she's at.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. No, I'd love to have her on the show too. I've invited her once before, but yeah, we'll try to make that happen. So they host a podcast together. I love their podcast. It is hilarious. You guys actually really got that whole, I'm just a fly on the wall feel. Okay. On your show. I mean, when you listen to their show, you really feel like you're just eavesdropping conversation that really good friends are having about just the most random things. And I enjoy it very much. Like, it's out loud, enjoyable. So please check that out. It's on Spotify. Sammy. Geek Speak as well. Although you're on break right now, right?
Yeah.
These podcasts.
Yeah. You can still check them out. All the episodes are still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Binge listen to that. He also runs a YouTube channel where he vlogs, he live streams. He does unboxings, all that good stuff. We'll link it down below. Before we wrap this one up, Instructor Aaron, Tina, any last words?
Justin, it's nice to see you. And yeah, thank you for sharing your beautiful story. Yeah, I love that prayer. I'm just not sure if I'm going to pray it anytime soon. It's
a dangerous prayer. Be cautious before you pray that. You got to be ready.
Be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah.
That was very powerful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all I would say too.
Aaron, yeah.
I just say thank you for that. I mean, it's always one of the best things that, you know, that I have in the position that I'm in, is I get to hear a lot of people's, you know, stories of where they came from and, you know, how they've gotten to where they've been. And none of them are the same. They all have these struggles that they go through and these difficulties, but they all have a lot of similarities, you know, where a lot of people, they're searching at that time. And I think that's really important. People have to be in that position to desire to want to know God at that time. You know, God is not going to force anybody to make them believe in him, but for those that are searching, he's going to provide a way, you know, but you have to be able to take that opportunity. And that's what you did, right? You took that opportunity and then you realized it when it happened. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's those stepping stones.
Yeah.
You know, you have to walk that path continuously. Mm-hmm. And just like you were saying about the name of this podcast, it's not always easy to stay on that path. You know, persecution comes, hardships come, some people get involved for the wrong reasons, they're disappointed in God.
Yeah.
You have to be able to really focus on what's really important. And that's, you know, the end result, which is, of course, heaven, you know, salvation, eternal life, you know. So I just want to say thank you for that. I was just sitting listening. I was like, wow, I was like enthralled in a story. You know, I was like,
so good, it was wonderful. Right? Yeah, it was so good. Thanks, Justin, so much, Justin, for coming on the Narrador podcast and sharing all of that. I'm sure it's going to inspire a lot of our Doritos. And don't worry, Justin is going to join us on the next episode where we break down a parable. It's called the Road to Revelation series. So we'll see you on the next episode with Justin Quirino again. Please check out Instructor Aaron on Healing Leaves on YouTube. Of course, Tina Ryan hosts the podcast, The Dog Behind the Human with Dog Coach Francis. All of the links down below. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.